Welcome to the Melanin Money Show with your host, George Achimpong and Carter Cofield. We're on a mission to decrease the wealth gap by $100 billion and in the process creating 100,000 new first generation millionaires. And we want you to be one of them. So listen to our show for weekly tips on personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship as we help you navigate your journey to your first 1 million in net worth and beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We're still out here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona.
Beautiful out here, man.
Beautiful. We got an amazing guest on the show.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tapping in with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Eddie, you've been at, I've seen a lot of high-level rooms. I remember my first time seeing you, bro. Like, you blew my head off with a presentation about...
In Neo's house?
Yes. Cool. Yeah, that was wild.
You blew my mind off with your presentation, to be fair.
But yeah, it was like, you know, just high level entrepreneurship talk. So like, before we get into that type of part of the conversation, like for those of you people who don't know who you are, like who was Eddie Maloof, kind of what's your come up story, and then we can kind of go from there.
Cool. So I'll give you like who I am now, the world perceives me.
Yeah,
I'm a father to my beautiful daughter, 2 years old. I run a company with 180 employees called Bad Marketing. And I basically get to touch so many different kinds of business, like billion-dollar companies that sell products online and personal brands who just post videos and sell courses and also make tens of millions of dollars. And so there's two pretty cool dynamics that I get to touch, and that's kind of what everyone knows me as now, right? Obviously, 12 years ago, like none of this even existed. I didn't even like know what marketing was or any of that stuff. But I think there's one point, which is I think important, that kind of shifted my entire life. So like I was a loser in high school, not a loser. I take that back. Like I played sports, but like I had a girlfriend for like 3-4 years. Like I couldn't, like, there's no way I could even leave her and go try to date someone else. Like I didn't have game.
I was like, you didn't know, like, this is the best I can do right now, bro.
I'm not cool with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the quarterback.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they could have their, you know, the top chicks. But I was confident, but I wasn't, like, really confident. It was kind of, like, forced confidence, if that made sense, to be able to, like...
Get through the... Yeah.
Yeah, to be strong. But, like, intrinsically, I was, like, insecure for sure. And definitely didn't have, like, it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, how are you guys? Were you guys like that in high school? Like...
I was kind of, I ain't gonna hold you, I was kind of a man in high school. I feel like there were elements of insecurity, just in terms of like just developing my own identity.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I felt pretty comfortable in my own skin.
Okay, cool. It didn't start out well. So like I was fat coming into high school, so I had like no game, was chubby. I lost weight like my freshman year, and like my coolness had to like go up. So freshman year, I was like not that guy. But then by senior year, I like, came second to prom king, but like, it was a bad start, but it made it up.
I was prom king.
Get out of the
And I was third. I'm just kidding.
No, it started out bad. Like, I didn't have the confidence that I now have, but I think that's dope because the people who usually had it back then, they don't have it now.
A lot of them don't. Yeah. What 50 Cent say? Damn, homie.
Yeah.
Nice, man, homie.
Yeah.
So I had a similar story to you. So I was like chubby going into high school.
Yeah.
Then I lost weight. I played sports. And like by, I don't know, maybe sophomore year, I looked good. And then I like got more confident. By the time I got to college, I was a lot more confident. But like going into it, I was like the new kid in the school. And like I was in... like the cool kid. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like that gave you like the chip on your shoulder mentality?
You know, I want to say it did, but I don't think it did. I think it was like, I was always just like trying to be funny and friendly and like, you know, not fight anyone about shit. Like I was pretty easygoing is the word. But what happened was I went to UGA, which is, did you guys go to college? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. You did? Yeah. Like you finished?
Yeah.
Wow, that's like rare.
in this space, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jumped out of college.
Yeah, started the online e-com.
Yeah. So I went to college, and my college was like an hour and a half away. Yeah. And so like my dad's driving to college, and I remember, I think this was like a big shift in my life. I was like looking out the window, and I was thinking, at the time there was like Instagram was new.
Uh-huh.
Snapchat was like day one.
Yeah.
And Facebook was like the thing. And I was like, you know what? Like, the only reason I am who I am is because that is how I think other people perceive me. It was like a weird moment. Like I kind of just had to myself, like, you know, we're just in this mastermind. We had this presentation. The guy's like, you can kind of like put on a different identity, right? Mm-hmm. Like shape your, like you can pretend to be someone else until you're someone else type thing. So I was driving and I was like, you know, everyone I meet in this university, like they didn't go to my high school. They didn't go to my middle school. Mm-hmm. They don't know who the fuck I am. They know nothing about me. All they know is like from this moment forward, I could delete all my Facebook photos.
Right.
Put fucking, you know, star quarterback.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I kind of started realizing, I was like, you know, like all they know is what I tell them from this point. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was like, what do I want to be this point forward? And I was like, I want to be this guy. I want to be a player. I want to, you know, I want to make a lot of money. I kind of like went down the list. I'm like, that's who I am.
So on your way to college, you're like redefining yourself before you hit the campus because you have opportunity.
It clicked in my head halfway through. I was like, I think I can be whoever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking orientation, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Each other's yeah. It's like, there's not a better orientation. You know? Yeah. It's like, we're still figuring shit out.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, I'm going to be a fucking cool kid. That's it. Yeah. So like, I went to college and I started getting whatever I wanted in a way. Like, I knew I was, I'm getting, like, if I wanted a girl, I'm getting that girl. Like, it's happening. If I wanted to, I don't know, meet someone, like, be a friend with a top basketball player, I'm going to go do that. You know what I mean? Like, I went, like, I met every single person I could in school. I sat with someone different every meal, every class. Like, I never sat next to the same person, even like my own friends, unless it was like dinner, like lunch, breakfast. I'm like, who do I not know? Oh, that guy, Carter. Let me go sit next to him. Hey, what's up, Eddie?
And he just built this new persona of this new avatar who just had the confidence to sit next to anybody. I'm just like, in high school, you didn't have the confidence to do that, but
definitely not. I would not like walk up to someone.
Yeah, but you just decided. Like, I feel like it's so important for people at home to know, like, I can decide to become someone else. And then I can just start doing the activities that would make that person.
Yeah. Exactly, right? And so that's all it is. It's just a fucking decision. There's no fucking, like, checklist or roadmap or, like... Right.
And I think, I mean, it's really profound when you think about it, though. I think most people feel like, oh, I've been this fucking whatever my whole life, and now I want to follow this path, and I can't do it because of the former identity I have. But really, at any given moment, you can just say, no, I'm good on that. And I'm just going to pursue something completely different. And you could probably change your life in a year.
Oh, and less than a year. Dude, right now, like, if I was just like, I don't want to be a marketing or business guy. I want to be a, I don't know, fucking health expert. Like,
yeah.
Guaranteed in a year from today, if I just dropped all my identity and just became a health expert, that, like, I would have a serious amount of people listening to me for health advice.
That would low-key be like a dope marketing experiment.
Yeah.
Right? Just like, for one year, I'm going to turn myself into a completely different... Obviously, you can't. You run a huge company, right?
Yeah.
It's not now. unless you exit it or something. But, that would be
smart. But I think also profound about that is what I think allowed you to do that is this new environment that you went in. Because what happens is, when we try to change, one of the main things that stops us from changing is our family and friends reminding us of the person we used to be every day of the week.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? So you went to college, you had this new environment so that you could not only change, but you didn't have people dragging you back to who you used to be in high school.
Exactly. Like I said, the key is, like, I shifted how I thought other people perceived me. Because, like, I think who we are is... In a way, I know it's not the whole thing, but it's like, it's tied to how we think people think of us.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like super confident and I'm cool, it's because I think other people think I'm cool.
Yeah.
The minute I think other people don't think I'm cool.
You're like,
what do I need to do differently to not, like, it starts, affecting you. So that's the key.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
100%. So I was like, this is a new environment. No one fucking knows me. And that's why I'm doing it. Right. If you try to do it realistically, like you're saying, if you try to do this at home and like your family every day is reminding you of the shit that you are or whatever it is, like you're not going to get anywhere. You got to just get up and go somewhere else. And go to a new fucking city that you have no idea who anyone is and just, like, become that person.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So that was pretty cool. So I went to college. And in college, like, I never, like, registered what getting a job was. Honestly, I thought I was going to college to, like, start a business.
Really?
My dad always owned a company. He never worked a corporate job.
Yeah.
He didn't own, like, companies, you know, but, like, he owns a flooring business. He owns like, you know what I mean? A tile installation business. He owns a granite countertop business. You know what I mean? Like, he always kind of worked for himself. Like, I would go to work with my dad and we'd do jobs together growing up.
So you were exposed to it. So
I was exposed, and I was actually naive to a job.
Have you ever been chilling on your couch and you were maybe trying to find something to watch on TV, whether it's Netflix or Hulu, Amazon Prime, Stars. I mean, there's so many streaming services nowadays, right? Maybe you've already binge watched that favorite series and it's over and you're just trying to find something else to watch. But imagine if you spent that energy trying to find creative and impactful content that can help you level up your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. And that's exactly why we created Financial Flicks, which is a complete library of past workshops and masterclasses where you can learn different topics across personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship on your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. So head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Financial Flicks as well as all the other great features that you can find inside of our Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know. Like, for example, we're in college, they do career fairs. And, and like, my friends, like, one day were, like, all suited up and shit. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? You guys got prom? Like, not prom. That's a... career fair. I'm like, what are you doing at career fair?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go, like, meet companies that are going to hire us in 4 years when we graduate.
Like, four years from now. It's just wild to think about. Like,
I'm like, what? Aren't you just going to like start your own thing? Like, what do you mean? Like, no, man, we're here to like. So that's how stupid I was. You know what I mean? I was like kind of naive to it. I was like, if I don't make money for myself, I can't live. Like, that's my whole life. I'm just like, you have to make your own. It's not like getting a job was even an option. To the point that one day, so I was a good student. I was not a great student because I didn't care to come to class. I always thought like a lot of classes were a waste of time.
Is actually a fact.
Yeah. Actually, 100. What the fuck am I learning about Indian wars in fucking 1700s? Like, when the fuck is that? They fought over corn. My gosh.
Yeah.
But luckily, I still crushed a lot of classes, but some I just couldn't do it, right? Yeah. So I had a 3.3 GPA. Someone walks into our accounting class, which is like, it was like a high level class. And they're like, hey, we have an internship. We're the number one internship in the country. Just in one summer, in like 90 day period as students, a top performer will earn like 150 Gs. Imagine, bro, we're in college.
Yeah.
And someone's like, you're going to make 100.
In 90 days is crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way. So I listen. So the concept was like, you open your own painting business in like a local area, and they basically teach you what to do. Okay. And basically what you end up doing, they front money for you. Uh-huh. What you end up doing is you market from like January to like April. You get jobs. And then from like May, June, July, you have contractors through them, fill the jobs, and basically do all the jobs, and you get like your cut of all of them. It was pretty cool. It was like running your own business.
Yeah.
It's like eight months of running your own business. I was like, this is a pretty cool experience. Yeah. So I applied. I'm like, okay, let's see what I can do. So I get on, there's a group interview. They just do group interviews. Now that I think about it, I should be doing more group interviews.
Yeah.
Because we're hiring so much.
Yeah.
We should do more. We're doing for sales guys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you do them for sales guys?
Yeah.
Sick question. If you're hiring group interviews for sales guys, my sales manager does this. I think it's fucking great. He makes everyone on the call say if they couldn't hire themselves, they had to hire someone else on the call, who would they hire?
No. And we do that. I don't know where we got that from, but like maybe it was coach training. But yeah, we acted like who would you work with who would you rather have as a partner on this call or something like that?
Yeah.
I like your question better because it like makes them say that.
That's cool. So that's cool that you know that. So like I was like, oh, that's fucking sick. But they didn't do that to me on our interview. Anyways, we had our interview, group interview, and they call me like the next day. There's like an 8 interview process. Oh. Fucking intense.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your GPA is a 3.3. We told you requirements like 3.7 to apply. Why'd you even apply? I'm like, why would you even call me if you didn't think you liked me enough?
Yeah,
right.
That's bad. Because you had a group interview, which means that you obviously didn't have time to waste with individual interviews, but you called me one-on-one to ask me about.
Yeah, so I was confident in the opportunity. I was like, you're calling me back because you know I'm a good fit. Like, my GPA is irrelevant to this conversation. Yeah. Like, you're right, we want to schedule another so the next interview, this is crazy, was three people like this at a table with a dude interviewing us, like in person shit. Yeah. I'm like, motherfucker, I have to beat these two out, like
in person,
I'm cutting you both. It's like, do you speak up over people, do you not? It's like
right.
It's a weird dynamic, bro, when you're in person, all three of you are like trying to answer different questions, same questions. But anyways, the last question he asked again, he goes, okay, you can't, if you can't hire yourself at this table, who else do you pick at this table? And like, she picked me, he picked me, and he got to me. And I was like, I'd still pick myself. Like, it's not even close. Like, I have fun.
I
was just like, I know what they want. They want a fucking sales
guy. Yeah. Like, you're going to go and sell people on painting their house.
Yeah.
Like, do they want fucking two, like, betas, or they want fucking alpha? Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyways, long story short, I kept going. I go all the way to the end. One out of three people selected, 46,000 students, just for context, probably like a few thousand applied. One of three people selected, hey, congrats, you got the job, whatever. I was like, okay, cool, I declined. Thanks a lot. It was just to prove that, like, I could do it. Wow. Do you get what I'm saying? I knew I had a vacation that summer with a family that I'm not going to let go of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't worth letting go. But I was like, I'm just going to show that, like, if I wanted it, I could. You know what I mean? But I never like, wanted a job.
Yeah, but I think that is... it's a lesson of you try to reaffirm to yourself who you want, who you say you are, right? Because like, if you're gonna create this new identity, you need to, like Alex Mosey said this, like yelling affirmations in the mirror and telling yourself you're somebody is not gonna make you somebody.
Right.
You need an undeniable stack of evidence that you are who you say you are. And I'm like, for you, I don't know whether it's true or not, but like that moment is like the push in the back. I am who I thought I was because I got this job, even though I didn't want it. This is like me proving to me that I want to get this job.
100%. And you know what the second lesson actually there, now that we run businesses, I think this is something that could probably save people like a ton of money if they're listening. So when you want to go sell something new,
mm-hmm.
Okay, this is weird how it relates, but it's clear to me. So if you want to go sell something new, a lot of people go spend so much time trying to make that thing that they're trying to sell versus just going and trying to sell it to see if people will buy it.
So like sell it before it's ready.
Exactly.
To see if you have buyers. Right. See if the offer is good. Yeah.
If I go to buy a company,
yeah,
okay, and I think they have a marketing problem, mm-hmm. What I will do is I will go take my own dollars, run ads from a different page,
mm-hmm.
that's about that industry in that area,
mm-hmm.
and see, can I generate leads and can I do it quickly and can I do it for a cost-effective point?
Yeah.
If I can't, then I won't buy the company. I'll have spent a couple grand.
Yeah.
But I'll have saved myself $1 million today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of what I did with this job. It was like, let me see if I can do it. And then I can make a decision if I want to do it or not.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a little lesson there. But anyway, so while I was in college, I basically, I super got into fitness, bodybuilding. I know I'm dragging my story out, but if I
think. No, I mean, like there are lessons in the story that should be helping people.
Yeah. So basically, senior year of college, or junior year of college, I was like, I'm from Lebanon in the Middle East. Fitness was starting to get big. I could tell, like, gyms were opening up, big gyms. Like, people were, like, competing in, like, bodybuilding competitions in America. They were following all, like, the top fitness people on Instagram, the influencers. And I was like, this is going to be huge. Yeah. So I was like, let me go get all these brands that all these people in the Middle East, Dubai, all these countries are looking at on their phones. They're following all the athletes. Yeah. They're like, I wish I could try that pre-workout.
Right.
I wish I could try that protein. I wish I could try that bar.
Right.
Let me just go to America and like get these guys to give me the rights to sell them and just come sell them in the Middle East. Like I'm seeing it. I like all my friends follow these people.
Yeah.
Everyone in the gym follows the same people. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm doing my research on Instagram. Like, they all follow the same fucking people. Like, let me just go bring those around. So they've already done the market.
Right.
So I went. Remember, dude, I'm fucking 19. It's fucking I can't even legally drink. And I'm like, I got to figure out how can I get in touch with, like, someone who can get in this fall, right? And this is law of attraction. I'm a big believer in law of attraction. It's how I met my wife. It's like, I really run my entire life on law of attraction. I'm like, I believe it's going to happen. And I'm going to put all the energy towards it to make it happen. And right. if I put enough energy towards it and believe it, it's going to happen. So this is the craziest scenario. So I'm leaving Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
This is like my epiphany year. I'm like, okay, I got to go back to America and figure this out. I'm leaving Lebanon in 48 hours. My friend from Nigeria is landing in 24 hours. He's like my close friend from college. I'm like, I got to see him. And he's like, he lands at 3 a.m. in the morning. He's like, bro, there's no point. You're going to see me. You're going to see me. You drop me off like 4 hours away. And then drive back to the airport to leave. It just doesn't make sense. I'm like, bro, whatever it takes, I just want to see you.
Right.
Okay. He's like, cool. Just letting you know, my cousin's coming too, just in case like something happens. Like, he can at least come. I'm like, cool, whatever. Show up to the airport. His cousin gets there. I've never met this guy before. So this next year, he's like, yo, what have you been up to? Blah, blah. I'm like, I'm about to go build this giant, like, supplement thing. I'm like, this is my plan. I'm going to build a distribution center here, blah, 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 blah. I was like, he's like, bro, I got a guy that can help you. I'm like, who's the guy that can help you? He's like, oh, my roommate in college was in that space. I don't know what he does. Let me check real quick. Checks with his roommate in college. His roommate in college is the president of the distribution company that all supplement companies send their products to. To then send to stores.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, they like, do you understand, like, how fucking crazy that is?
Yeah. The odds of that happening is just, it's insanely low.
Are you an aspiring first-generation millionaire who's looking to march towards their first $1 million in net worth? If you are, then I strongly encourage you to consider joining the Melanin Millionaires Club. Inside the Melanin Millionaires Club, you're going to get access to a complete library of elective courses that will help you navigate towards your journey of your first $1 million in net worth. You're going to receive access to My Wealth Health, which is a dashboard that allows you to track your financial progress in real time. You're going to get access to live workshops and masterclasses, and you're going to get access to our past library recording of all of our masterclasses and workshops called Financial Flicks. Not to mention, you're gonna receive access to our flagship feature called Pocket Advisor, where you get access to a financial coach in real time. This is by far one of my favorite features of the platform, and there's so much more. All you have to do to learn more is go to melaninmoney.com/join to see how you can take advantage of all these benefits and become a first generation millionaire. See you inside the club.
So, crazier odds. He went to university in Louisiana.
Okay.
Them were their roommates. The dude who's the president lives 20 minutes away from me in Atlanta. Like, he just gets even crazier.
You're about to fly to Atlanta, but you come back
where I live.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, this is best case scenario. So fucking he connects me with this guy. I get back. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in with every single brand. I'm literally meeting with billionaires. As an
19
with a fucking full blown marketing plan of how we're taking over the Middle East, influencers I've signed, whatever it is. And all these guys, billionaires, are signing exclusivity for a little 19-year-old boy to go back to Dubai, Lebanon, Israel, Kuwait, and like every single Lebanese or Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
I could sell to all of them. So, I'm still in college doing all this.
Did you even have the contract with the influencers yet? Or did you like just...
No, in the summer when I thought of the idea, I went and pitched the influencers the vision. I'm going to get these brands.
Okay. And then they're not making money.
Oh, if you get these...
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I want to be sponsored. Yeah. I just want the product.
Right.
I actually had them all. And I came with like the list of all the influencers, their profiles. Like, I was down, bro. I came with a 40-page stack to every single billionaire. And I was like, this is my product. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're like, oh, fuck, this kid's got it. This is a good plan.
Yeah.
Like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I got all those contracts. Long story short, I'm doing this while I'm in college. So I'm flying between like Lebanon, Las Vegas. Like I'm doing all this shit while I'm in classes still. And I'm like, I'm always like missing tests and quizzes, but I'm like, I'm always talking my way out of it. Like teachers like, oh, I have to give you like a bare minimum, like a 60.
Yeah.
If you're going to skip this for this. I'm like, dude, like we're in business class.
Yeah.
And I'm running the fucking business.
I'm doing acting more than you. Being real.
Like, bro, let's be respectful here.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for 100, but like, give me a fucking 80, bro.
Yeah.
Just like let it fly so I can fucking graduate and get the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know? So I was doing all this. Long story short, that ended up falling apart for like corruption and political reasons in the Middle East. And like, I think at that age, I was just not ready to handle like, and I fought hard. Like I really overcame a lot of bullshit, but like, I just realized like someone was always like in control of me.
Yeah.
They could just press a button and like stop me from shipping shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like it was just too much. And I was like, I don't want to get into that. But all this to say, I did this all through college. So like I never knew even having a job was like an option, you know?
Right.
And at that point in my life, I was like, I gotta get a job now. So
from 18, 19 to you about to graduate 21.
Yeah, I'm like 21, yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you make any money like when you're doing that stuff?
I made money. Honestly, okay, so we're talking about this off show.
Yeah.
So I made all my money selling like weed muffins in college. Okay. So like basically here's how the story happened. So like my friend came. And he like brought some muffins, and I was like, okay, cool. You know, I was like, I'm a big sucker for like a really good muffin, like a banana bread muffin or like fucking snickerdoodle or some shit. I'm weak. So brings these muffins over. I just like grab one, like take a bite. I'm like, this is fucking amazing. So I just swallow the whole thing. I go to grab the second one. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you eat one? Oh, bro.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, why? He's like, oh. I'm like, bro, don't tell
him. You're about to go on a ride that you didn't sign up for, brother.
He's like, you should eat in like a quart, if anything. I'm like, fuck me, bro. So I went for the ride. I was like, how much does it cost to make you these? He's like, I don't know, like, I make like a dozen for like, you know, $60. I'm like, okay, it's $5 a piece. Like, that's, I was like, do you think we can bring costs down a bit? He's like, I think so. Yeah. So we worked on a little bit. He's like, I think we can do it for like $350. So yeah. Like $350. I'm like, I think I can sell these for like $20 a month. He's like, you think so? I'm like, I think I can.
Yeah.
So I was like, make me like 30. Let me see how long it takes for me to sell it. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, think about it. My reputation, like we talked about, was meeting
every, fair enough.
Yeah, sitting next to a new person, like I've for the last 3 years,
I've been waiting for this moment.
Where I can sell something.
Yeah.
And without even realizing, I created an affiliate network. So like, I would have like a star athlete and be like, "Hey, bro, like all your boys, like try this.
Yeah,
like here's three for your boys. Try them out, and if you want some, let me know." And then
Free trial.
We want
the free trial.
But all through other people. So like basically I had my friend, we call him Mr. Smiley Face. No one knew his name. Uh-huh. And we basically put like a smiley face sticker on the muffins. And that's how you knew if it was like a muffin or like muffin. You know what I mean? And that was kind of our distribution network. And then I had like 15 dudes who were like distributing like, let's say 20 a week.
Yeah. Yeah. The super affiliates.
Yeah. But it turned from 20 to like, I need 50 to I need 100. And I got to a point like in like 60 days.
Yeah.
Where I was slinging like hundreds of muffins. Hundreds of muffins.
Where were you making these on a college
campus? Yeah. It's like, where was it?
Just a house.
Okay.
Houses. Yeah. Just like a house. Like a normal house. Yeah. Like not everyone lives on campus. People live like they rent houses off campus. So this is my friend's house in a kitchen. It's not like it's a fucking meth lab, bro.
Yeah.
Here's the craziest part. You couldn't smell it. Like you couldn't taste it or smell it. That's why it was crazy. Like, like a cop could just eat it right in front of you and he would have no fucking clue until an hour and a half later.
By the time you're at the crib, though, right?
But like you couldn't even smell it, anything. And that's what made the product so cool, right? So we had a really good product. But really quickly, it turned into like drug lord shit. Yeah. And I was like, all right, this is too much. I could tell right away. I'm like, if we got here in 60 days, we're making like 10 G's a week, like slinging muffins.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, in college,
right? Yeah. I'm like, now I feel elite.
Yeah.
Before it was cool.
Fucking bars and
movies. Yeah. But now accumulated, you have like Lamborghini money.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, we have it wrong.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, guys, I can't do this anymore. Like, bro, how are we going to get our muffins? I'm like, I can't tell you the source. If you can't figure it out, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But so that's how I made my money. But so again, I didn't work a job. I didn't like, my friends worked in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. My friends worked in other jobs. Like they're making like $7 an hour, $6.50 an hour. I'm like, dude, I just feel like I'm never going to get ahead and making $6-$7 an hour.
Yeah.
You know? So I always do my own thing. But anyways, I don't know why we're still talking about this. Fast forward all that shit.
Yeah.
I basically took a job at Lifetime Fitness, selling like gym memberships. Became the number one person in the company just from like pretty cool strategies and just like grit. Honestly, I just like out dialed everyone. You remember today Jeff was showing us his charts?
Yeah.
And he had one guy
that was dialing way more than
imagine like three times more. That was the guy. I would dial like,
they don't even know what's happening. Like they don't the people at that level when it comes to, they're just making enough to like make money to pay their bills. And if you just want more than them, like
I'm like, if in 8 hours I could do triple what you're doing,
then
I will make triple what you're doing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's the cool part about a sales job. It's like I'm not defined by the hour, I'm defined by the output.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I was like, I'm just gonna output everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I became number one, quit that job in 6 months. And the reason I quit, I was balling out. I was number one in the whole company of Lifetime, Canada, United States. Mm-hmm. We're talking like 10,000 employees, but not that many salespeople. I'd say probably like 800, 900 salespeople. I was number one. Like that's still pretty good.
Yeah, solid.
And so basically I quit making six figures to go work for $2,500 a month because I wanted to learn more than I wanted to earn. Okay. This is very important
because
I was 21. At 21, 22, let's say 22, okay? Yeah. At 22, you're making, you know, 140K, 130K a year. You're like, at the time,
Bro,
I was making double any of my friends.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, get any girl you want.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right? But I kind of did the math. I was like, okay, at 130K a year, I think people sometimes, I don't think people think of it like this. At 130K a year, if I work for 10 years straight, I'm only taking home 1.3 mil.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
Okay. In a decade.
It's going to take me 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
There is, and that's not on taxes. That's not all that stuff, yeah. Right? I'm really going to take home, like, what, 600 G's in 10 years?
Right.
I'm like, okay. Like, if I know that's the outcome, let's say I even get raises and it's 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that's the outcome, there's got to be something I don't know that I can learn in the next 9 years, where if I learn in the next 9 years more than I earn, like, that's my focus, that by year 10, I could probably make more than the million and a half in 1 year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? I'm like, I could then just catch up all the money that I missed out on.
Yeah, and then now I'm making that every year, so exactly. It's going to exponentially...
Right. Exponentially
count. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was my theory. I was like, you know what? Let me, like, zig when everyone's zagging. So I quit. Took a job for nothing, like $3,000 a month, basically, doing marketing. And I had to learn how to, like, the funnels. I learned how to run ads and creatives and do all these things that I could kind of do. That's why I put my business plan together. But I never, like, really ran for, like, a whole company.
Yeah.
Like, I was the guy. Like, I'm building automations and email sequences and running ads and, like, tracking and putting pixels. And you know what I mean? It was like, I was like, let me just, like, learn everything. Let me just be forced to, like, learn as much as possible. And so that's what I did. And I got really good at that. And from there, I took that skill set and I started getting bigger clients, learning more. And every dollar I made, I put back into the business. Like, it's pretty cool. Actually, my creative director for 3 years left the company a few months ago. We, like, mutually agreed a while back.
Yeah.
And he just released a video on YouTube. And it's the first time I've seen it like this. But he was, like, painting the perspective, like, I was with Eddie when he started this company.
Yeah.
And I watched him take every dollar we made. And, like, he could have bought Lambos and McLarens and shit. Yeah. And he just, like, sunk it to hiring, like, sick team members, getting better cameras to, like, to building more business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's stay there for a second, because we just talked about this in the previous episode. So, like, my question to you is, at what revenue point, like, did you, like, how long were you, like, reinvesting? Because it's easy to reinvest when you're making $50,000, because, like, you just reinvested $50,000.
Yeah.
If you make a half $1 million, you're still reinvesting every dollar to the business, not buying the Lambos, not buying the Ferrari, so in your instance, how long were you, like, reinvesting every dollar into the business
before? I was making $1.5 million a year net.
Net.
Living in a $1,300 apartment.
Well, there you go.
Could you imagine having a financial coach that at any given time you could ask your questions in real time from a real expert and get real advice? To be honest, Pocket Advisor is the flagship feature, in my opinion, of the Melanin Millionaires Club. And when I originally created this platform, for those of you who may not know this, Pocket Advisor was actually the name and the primary feature back in 2021. But when I rebranded to the Melanin Millionaires Club, I knew that no matter what we added or changed, Pocket Advisor had to stay, because we have democratized financial advice by giving you access to a real financial expert in real time. There is no other financial education platform that you'll find something like this that's actually backed by a financial advisor. One of the top 100 in the nation, I might add. So if you're looking to get financial education in your pocket in real time, head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Pocket Advisor, as well as all the other great benefits and features that you can find as a part of the Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
So does that kind of give you...
That gives me...
Like, people say, like, live on X percent of your income. Imagine, like, 0.1%.
You were so far from the edge, you couldn't even sit. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that 0.1? Is that 1?
Well, yeah, if you...
Point one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, my team would come over and be like, what the fuck is this for anyone?
And what was your, like, just your mindset? Like, because entrepreneurs, founders are visionaries too.
Right? Yeah.
So, like, could you start to see what it was going to evolve into? And that was what created the relentless commitment to just, like, reinvesting to expedite that journey? Like, what drove that level of commitment to reinvesting in the business?
I'm naive, I think is what it is. And back to, like, the mindset that I created, I think... And this took a while to do it. I was just, like, born with this mindset, like I kind of told you. It took me a lot of time. But, like, I'm naive enough to think that, like, I can get anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I think this is what we're going to build from the beginning. Like, that was the vision. We're going to build this huge company and we're going to have a huge warehouse and everyone's going to want to work here. And like, that's how I got these guys on board that are working for me in the company, right? Yeah. Like, they saw what I thought. I think all of that is always possible. It's just a matter of like making a bitch ass excuse and quitting early for some reason that like was too hard.
Right.
Or it just like takes more time than you thought. But like, you can always achieve that out.
Because if somebody else did it, it's proof that it's possible. Yeah, exactly. The question is, do you want to do it?
Even if no one else has done something, if I really think it's possible, it's going to get done.
For sure. Yeah.
Like,
so one of my mentors has this framework that he uses, because I didn't believe in like the law of attraction. I just didn't believe that. Like, you mean to tell me because you think something's going to happen, it's going to happen? Mm-hmm. But he broke it down in a way like, if you focus on nothing but the outcome that you want, you start to do the activities with the confidence level that is going to beat out the opposite of it happening. So like, when you focus on doubt, you start moving in doubt. So if you don't think you're going to get the job before you go into the interview, you're going to move and answer questions like you're not going to get the job. And that's actually going to cause you not to get the job. But when you have this law of attraction focus, you're moving with such 100% certainty that it's going to work, that is actually what's making it work.
Right.
So that's probably my biggest realization the last 2 years. I never used it, and now I'm starting to use it in my business, and now obviously it's starting to work.
Yeah, and I think we also operate in like wavelengths and energy, and like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. if you're like constantly like calling something, mm-hmm. like I want this or whatever right. it is, like, I think if you keep being aggressive about it, right. you'll get opportunities. You just have to see them and take them. You know what I mean?
Like,
even my wife, I was telling the story yesterday, like, dude, my wife, I was a player when I met my wife. The night my wife actually like met me, like in person, got numbers, I was dating 3 chicks at the table. Like, and she saw that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I say all this to say, like, I was naive to all this, but I saw my wife a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I like couldn't stop thinking about her. And I was like, I just need one more shot at this girl. And bro, in a whole another country, there's 8 million people in this country.
Yeah.
What are the chances I'm ever going to see this chick again? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I'm leaving in like 4 days. Like, it's a wrap. Like, this is the whole fucking country. You know, I just saw her one time at a restaurant. I couldn't get her out of my head for a whole week. I'm like, dude, just like, give me one chance. Like, if it's in fucking traffic, I'll stop the car and I will go in her passenger seat. Like, I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Just like, let me see her.
Yeah.
She could be fucking skydiving, bro.
Fucking.
I just need an opportunity. Like, just give me a second. I won't flinch. Like, just like, and for a whole week, bro, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I'm like, give me one chance. One chance. Went to a club a week later with my friend. It's like the night before we're leaving. Uh-huh. It's my friend from a different university here in America, and we hadn't seen each other because we grew up together. Then we split up for college.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, bro, let's go like an hour and a half early, and like, we're gonna buy a huge bottle anyways. Let's just buy it and start drinking together casually, and like just fucking get our thing going.
People come.
Like, it's like, I don't need to show up right to the club. Like, I want to catch up with you first. Like, it's better than going to a dinner. Let's just go there and like chill. Mm-hmm. So we go there. I'm talking about this girl. I can't stop thinking about it. Whatever. Dude, one table walks in. It's her and her friends.
Wow.
The whole club's empty still, bro.
Oh, so it's just
it literally said like right here. Like,
yeah.
The first table next to us.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, you're not gonna fucking believe it, but like that's the fucking girl I'm talking about. He's like, no fucking way. I was like, swear to God. Yeah. Like, that was the opportunity I needed, but like I was so obsessive for an entire week, like thinking like I just one chance. Like, mm-hmm. just give me that one chance and I'll take it no matter what. That like I truly believe I pulled that into my life. And this happens, like my wife's one example. This happens maybe 30, 40 times a year for me where I'm like, I really want this thing. And then like something happens, like I want to open my restaurant in this location, for example, right? I own a restaurant franchise. No. Everyone, no. It's impossible. No. Dude, I went down 100 no's for 3 months. I was like, there's gotta be a way to get it in this location.
Yeah.
Eventually, after 3 months of like all the shit, I got the restaurant in that location. Like, guaranteed. 99.9% of people have quit before that.
Yeah, right.
But I know there's a way to get in. Like, like rules are all made up at the end of the day. It's how I view life. Like, all the rules we're given are made up by someone
else. Yeah.
And so, like, if someone says you can't do it, someone else says you can. It's like the mommy and daddy. Like, I ask mom, she says no. Dad says yes.
Yeah.
Like, I know all rules are like that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be real. Like,
for sure.
Every rule is made up like that. And so I was like, I can go get whatever I want. So from a perspective like law of attraction, I believe that you can always pull instead of just pushing. Like, if you pull while you're pushing, you close that gap a lot quicker, right?
Yeah. And we were talking about this. Like, I think it's a fascinating topic because, like, yeah, it's like, I don't know about the word spiritual, but like there's some spiritual elements on there, but there's some really practical, like scientific methods to it too, because like, just like the red car theory. If you like buy a red car and you didn't see any cars on the road, but then you like buy the red car, you see them everywhere, right? So those opportunities are there.
Yeah.
All the time. But when you lock in and focus on opportunity, you only see it. And you see like the best variations of it. So you just go do it. A lot of people, that has a lot to do with it. And then it's the second part, like the more difficult something is, the happier we should get, because we know. So like your 300th no, right? You know that 99% of people are done.
Yeah.
So when you get to 302, 303, like it's only a select few people who can make it this far.
Yeah.
And that's why you get it. And then also when you get, you now know that the competition is going to be really low because most people are going to cave at no number 208.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that those two things make the law of attraction like really real.
Yeah.
And like, it's something that can just change your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you finished in the beginning, you run a huge company, 180 employees. Talk a little bit about that, the clients that you serve, and just like how you got to, like how you built this company and what you guys do.
Yeah, so I built it by doing what I was doing before I quit. I learned marketing for like years. Then I took that marketing skill basically when I got clients. Mm-hmm. Got clients. I got small clients. Then I used the small clients to get big clients. Then I used the big clients to get huge clients.
Yeah.
And kind of just
like, through referrals? Like,
No, I would like go and get one gym. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, hey, I work with that gym. And then another gym would sign up. And then I go to the third gym, be like, I work with both those gyms. And they'd be like, oh, okay, cool. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like getting my own.
It's like validation.
Oh, you work with them. You got to be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And so I always know, like, if I go through something mutually, it's always easier, right? It's like, right. Just like rule of sales. So like, I would just get one person. I go. So for example, like I just did a dinner the other night when you guys were at the Lakers game.
Yeah.
I did a dinner. Had 20 ballers in the room. Like, worst person in the room is doing 8 figures a year. Best person is doing, like, multiple 9 figures. Okay? When I first started building my network, how could I get those people in the room? It was by going and saying, hey, Carter, you want to come to this dinner? I'm going to have ballers at the dinner. You go, oh, yes, I'm down.
Yeah.
Then I go to another baller. I go, yo, you got some ballers at the dinner? Like, Carter. They're all coming through. You want to come? Yeah, cool. Yo, what's up, bro? Don, I got Carter and Jeremy, and they're both coming to this dinner, and I got a bunch of other ballers too. Are you down?
Yeah.
I just start taking that one yes, and I leverage it. That's how I signed all the brands for the supplements too. I got the first meeting, I closed it, and I fucking took that shit to every other one. I was like, oh yeah, I'm already working with them. They're like, oh. And then I took the next house. By the fucking 15th guy,
I work with all these guys.
They're all already in, so like, are you in or are you out? You know what I mean? Like, the tone changed from like, please, to like,
yeah.
Yeah, you can say no, and I got 14 motherfuckers right here, and they're all going to take it, and you're going to get none of it. You know,
So
that's how I started getting clients. It's like I really went out of my way to like call, dial, walk in, whatever it took to get like 5.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got 5 out of just pure like effort, then I used those 5 to just leverage them without having to go drive and cold call. And I was like, okay, let me just send mass emails. We work with these guys. Do you want to work with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Started leveraging that, and I started spending pretty big amounts of money.
Right.
I went from like $1,000 a month gym budgets to like 4X course in 2018, 2019, I was selling a 4X course online. We were spending like $300,000 a day in ads. Never in my life, bro. Never in my life. Every day, new ad. It was like the most black hat, like,
yeah.
But like, the amount of money they were paying me, I've never seen money like that at the time. And it was just, they were paying me in crypto, which I wish I kept, bro. Bitcoin was 6,800. I'll never forget. Bitcoin was 60, and I was just cashing them out because I was scared. I was
I need this in money. Like, I don't know what this thing is.
I kept it, bro. But they were paying me like $10,000 every like 3 days or so. At the time, that was off. It was like a lot. Bro, that's like 150 G's, 120, 50 G's a month.
What kind?
But it was like, it took like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it was like another level. I was like, I can't find this.
But
like, imagine I was just stacking like a Bitcoin a day, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, out of, if I had like 30 of them right now from 2 months of work, that'd be pretty nice.
So
that's how I got into that. And then from there, around like 2020 when COVID happened, I was like, okay, I'm making like 40, 50K a month at this point. Like, that's kind of my income. I know I can make that. So like, let me just take a risk. I already know I can do this. So like worst case, like for family, wife, security, whatever, I come back to like freelancing, running ads, making 40 G's a month. I assume that's my worst case. So because I built the skill set, I spent all that time learning, and it's like, I learned sales, I learned marketing. I could do that. I knew I could do that. So I was like, let me just like play big. So that's when like I got an office, started hiring employees. I was like, let me go get bigger clients. And it was just, like we said at the beginning, it was just a decision. It was the decision to say, I'm not just going to like work and try to make money for myself. I'm going to try to like build something way bigger. And so from 2020, that's August 2020 is when we first started hiring people. Now we're in 2024 and we have 180-ish employees. 3.5 years. So,
wow.
You know, it said you should get a health checkup at least once a year. My question is, when's the last time you had a financial health checkup? My guess, it's probably been a while. And that's why we created the Wealth Health Score. Whether you're financially out of shape or financially elite, the Wealth Health Score is going to tell you exactly where you stand and what things you can do to get into the best financial health possible. So visit mywealthhealthscore.com to get your score today.
You said you do about 40, 50 grand a month at that time. Are you comfortable sharing ranges about what you guys are doing now?
Yeah, we do a couple million dollars a month for ourselves. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's not that much.
Yeah, it's good. It's great money.
It's still learning over earning. It's weird because I touch so many businesses. Like, we work with hundreds of businesses. Being able to touch all of them, you get so much experience. Like, I look at companies now and they're like, they act like they're so complicated. And I'm like, I've seen like 100 companies more complicated than this one, you know? So I look at it, I'm like, it's so easy. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they're like, oh, I never thought of it like that. You know? So that's really the experience that we're building. And it's cool because my team is the same game. My team, when you work on like 15, 20 different companies at the same time, let's say, like, okay, that's a little much. But like, let's say we work on 5 to 10 companies at the same time.
Yeah.
At any given time. Like, you learn so much more than your friend is working one job at one company.
Yeah.
They don't get to see outside of their one lens.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas you're looking at 10 companies through 10 different lenses, 100, 100 times total, like, variations that you're looking at and understanding these businesses. So that's pretty much what I do now. So now I basically partner up with other people. I take it, like, let's say you guys, like, I take an offer like his. I go to the challenge. I say, hey, give me money. I'll spend the money. Whatever we profit from that money, I'll take a piece.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my model. And so, like, you can almost, not always, but you can almost only pay us if we're making.
Yeah.
So that's why we've been able to be successful, because we kind of bet on our own horses.
Right.
And I decline most people, even though they're willing to pay us a 20 grand a month retainer, plus the 30% profit share, plus. Like, I still turn them away because, like, I only want to take someone I think I can make a ton of money with.
Right.
I'd rather one person who makes me $1 million a month and 10 people make me 100 grand each.
Because the benefit of that is, like, not everybody has the best interest, right? It's like, I'm only working with you because I believe that you're going to win. And the more you win, the more I win, and everybody wins.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, so I think it's
like on, it's honest business, honestly.
But at the end of the day, I mean, everybody is in business to make money, right? Yeah. So we can't shy away from that. So that's cool.
Yeah, but in today's world, it's cool because, like, you could start an online business. You could literally run a challenge like you do. You could run a webinar. You could literally have people DM you, and you could fucking sling money in the DMs. Mm-hmm. Like, we live in a pretty cool time where, like, there's, like, unless you work for a really good company. Like, honestly, if I worked for my company as an employee and I was, like, high up, I don't know if I would ever leave. Like, if going back in time, like, to the gym scenario, if I was in that same scenario and I was working for, like, bad marketing and I was making, like, 6 figures a year and I was, like, challenging myself and learning, we were, like, growing as a company and shit, I'd be like, yo, this is a rocket ship. I'm not leaving. You know what I mean? So, like, unless you're in a scenario like that, like, there's, like, no excuse not to go and try to do your own thing.
So I think, you know, one question that can help the people listening, I know it's probably a loaded question, so forgive me in advance, but, like, if somebody was like, yo, Eddie, like, I'm, you know, but launch this business, like, what would be, like, your top 2 or 3 marketing strategies that somebody can use to kind of, like, not guarantee, but, like, honestly, we kind of guarantee this money, because we know good marketing strategies. Like, if you have to pick, like, top 3 people to just use now, simplicity and, like, guarantee rate of return, what would some of those marketing strategies be to launch, like, an online brand or whatever?
Yeah, so, I would run ads. Like, as a skill, I think ads is the most important skill, because, like, ads is a controlled attention.
More important than content creation, than, like, organic, because it's less controllable.
I think so. Okay. We're talking short term.
Yeah.
Right. Like, long term, organic content is going to be that.
Yeah.
But, like, as a skill set and as a return. But, like, ads, short term is always going to win. Like, if we and you went and you guys are, like, you both are launching a car wash business. And you said, Eddie, you can't make any organic posts. You can run ads. And Carter, you can only make organic and you can't run it. You'd be fucked, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I would own every keyword on Google for car washes. I would run ads for coupons. For day one, I would have 10,000 impressions.
Yeah.
Where you'd be like, oh, I got 50 views on that first video. What do I need to do different? You get what I'm saying? So I can control it with money. And if that money's coming back, then I have infinite control. Right? If I spend 10 grand and make back 20, I'll just spend 20 and make back 40.
Yeah.
Right. Keep doing over. So ads is definitely the number one skill set, because like, we can do it from a phone now. You can literally film a video or put a photo on Facebook and Instagram, press a button, and like, people start buying shit from you.
Yeah.
Ads, you can run to a landing page, you can run to like just Messenger. Like, if I was good at sales and I was just launching a whole new business, like right now we're like, let's go launch like a fitness offer, I go run ads to messages and I just be on the messages all day and be like, how can I close these people? Let me see what their problems are. Like, how would I need to adjust to my ads to get better people? Like, in a week, I could have it solved without a website, without anything. We'd be slinging like 30, 40 G's a day for sure. You know what I mean? Just from like, we know fitness and we're going to have people on DMs that we can close it on here. You know what I mean? So I think ads is number one. I would say like, is that what you're looking for? Like ads?
Yeah, skill set.
I mean, organic has to be number two, right, bro?
Yeah.
Like,
that's more long, right? And then we do the organic plus ads, your ad costs go down because you have a brand, an organic following. So, okay. And I think you gave a lesson in the lesson. Like, all right, I run ads, but how do I make money now? Oh, run it to DMs, close in DMs, or get them on the phone, and then close them on the phone.
Yeah.
Like,
that's it. The goal for me is like, I want to give them a message to get them close enough to me to want to give me their phone number to then get on a phone call to then close them.
Right.
Like, that should kind of be the process. But like, I feel like in today's world, it's very easy to do all these things. Like, you could like right now, without any experience, go boost a post on Instagram. If you didn't know how to run ads, boost a post, send it to messages, and like in 5 minutes, be like trying to close people in your DMs.
Yeah, because it's not like the Alex Ramosi framework, more better new, right? So it's like, you don't have to worry about optimizing, just worry about volume, worry about just trying to do something, do the activity. And then you figure, oh, okay, I should probably do it this way. I can probably optimize it. So one question I have is, since you're really big on manifestation and law of attraction, our podcast is going to be around for a while. We're going to keep making it better with your YouTube tips that you gave us a few minutes ago. In 5 years, right, reflect back on this conversation. Where are you? Where have you taken that marketing? Like, where are you in life, based upon the decisions that you're currently making right now and the manifestation that you're currently sitting in at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, there's only two options for bad marketing. So in 5 years, I've either sold the company, because we have a goal to sell it for over $100 million, just to like put that accolade, like we did that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the speed that we're growing and at the reputation that we're building, and I've said this to the team, like, I have a weird feeling that we'll get to 5 years and we won't sell. Because we'll be like, dude, like, this thing is still going. Why would we sell?
What a rocket ship. Why would we jump off?
Yeah, we're building, like, Apple for marketing. Like, why would we, like, just jump off the ship and let someone else do it for us? It just doesn't make sense. So I have a feeling we'll get there. If we get there, I would imagine that at that point we have, like a bad factory in a way. It's like a giant warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone wants to work there. It's the sickest fucking place. Everyone's parking their cars inside this place. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone works in this giant space. It's like the coolest. Like, there's all the shit. You know how like Google and Apple?
Yeah.
I was talking about that. Imagine talking about Facebook.
Yeah, all like the campus.
It's like Disney World.
Exactly, right? It's like that, but like on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And I think less like techie. Mm-hmm. And more like phone. Like, I would want a basketball court, like inside of this full court. You know what I mean? Just to be able to like pull up with my boys on a weekend and play. But like, people also work there and they're like, yo, we have a court, we have a gym, like, do all these things. And I think that's like the next level, because how I think about what I'm doing in the marketing space and what we're doing is bad. I'm really just a talent acquisition system. So if I just can actually have all the most talented people work at bad, then there's really no better option to go for marketing than bad, because all the best people work there. And so like, if I really just dedicate what I'm doing to provide the best experience for an employee and to get the best people to work for me, then I can't lose.
Right. So you got the best people.
Yeah, I have the best people.
So and they can build the best thing and so on and so forth.
Exactly. And so like, now people are like, I guarantee it, people, I mean, you guys weren't there yesterday, but like, we're at the bar and there's another event going. That's not our event that we're at. There's another one.
Okay.
And it's for like realtors and loan officers and people in the real estate space.
Yeah.
But it's about personal brand. And the owner comes up to me and goes, hey man, there's a guy in our group who like really likes you. Like, they're like, he really wants to show you his like market work.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm like, I thought your group was like realtors. He's like, he used to be, but he quit. And now he's a comp writer for the last year. Yeah. And he's like dying to show you his work. Like, yeah. Can you please? I know it's a super inconvenience. And I was like, bro, no, it's not inconvenient. It's like,
yeah,
bring him to me. He's like, I'm going to meet this guy. Like, yeah. I'd love to look at it. He's like, yeah, he's just like, Eddie, I have to have Eddie review my ads. I have him see if I'm doing the work. What should I do better? Whatever. Bro, fostering that allows someone like, dude, imagine that at like 100x scale where people are just like, I want to work for Bad. I want to work for Bad. Please. You know what I mean? That's what it's going to end up being. And so if I have people from the age of like 17, 18 being like, I really want to work for that company.
Yeah.
Like that's their mission.
And developing their skills so that they can work for the company.
And they're like, I have to be good enough to work for this company. Like I need to be the fucking best to do so. And so I will pull all the best people into one place and there is no choice because like, you will go at one point. You'll be like, "Let's hire a marketing company," and you'll be like, "There's like, I don't even know who's on. I don't even know who's number two."
Yeah,
right.
Like,
it's like you don't have the blue bubble on your cell phone. Nobody's think about the Android. Right?
You have to get out.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's what it's gonna be, and I'm very confident in that. I'm already feeling that, and so I'm trying to build Bad with my partners into something that's like a household name, or like. People just know what it is,
right?
You know, and luckily, like we made a name. I think that's easy enough, or like it'll stick.
Yeah, dude, I think the name is so genius. I was like, how can it not stick out?
I appreciate.
Yeah.
I'm like proud to wear.
Yeah, it's so you. Like you know what I'm saying? Like I'm gonna know you a little bit more. Like over the past, like it screams you because like only you would do something like that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. But other than that, bro, it's been amazing having you. On the show, bro, and I think people get a lot of value from this. I got a lot of value from this, from just the way I think. And bro, you know, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We hope that this episode was inspiring and gave you some tangible nuggets that you can walk away with and implement in real time. If you found this episode valuable, please like, subscribe, share, and consider leaving a review of this episode on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time.